pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name. He doesn't need his name up in lights, he just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat or the mic. Feels so unlike everybody else, alone, in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know. But no, he knows the code. It's not about the salary, it's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, talks picking it up. Let's go. Who the hell is he anyway? He never really talks much, never concerned with status, but still even a starstruck. Humble through opportunities given despite the fact that many misjudge him because he makes a living from writing raps. Put it together himself. The picture connects, never asking for someone's help, but to get some respect. He's only focused on what he wrote, his will is beyond reach, and now it all unfolds, the skill of an artist. This is 20% skill, 80% gear, be 100% clear, cause Ryder was ill. Who would have thought he'd be the one that set the West in flames? Then I heard him wreck it with the crystal method, name of the game. Came back, dropped Megadeth, took him to church. I like Bleach, man, why you had the stupidest verse? Let's do this the truth. Now everybody giving them guest spots. Socks through the roof, I heard him with that stuff. This is 10% luck, 20% skill.
Up top, Joe Johnson gets it, top of the arc. Johnson jab step, shoots the three, knocks it down. Joe Johnson with a three. They get it into Lowry. Lowry against Darren Williams. Track. Lowry circling with two. Lowry headed straight. Gets it back. Shot. Rejected. It's rejected. Knicks win. Knicks win. It's on to Miami. Paul Pierce with the block.
It's going to be a lot different from the regular season playoffs. And so, you know, we understand that we're going to definitely have our work cut out for us. And it's going to take a collective team effort. We don't need our bench to be huge in this next series. You know, we just look forward to taking this momentum from this series to the next.
All right, welcome into the zone. Joe Johnson speaks softly, carries a big jump shot.
Yeah,
welcome into the zone on this very special Monday. Justin Akre, Pat Bradley, Matty T, joined by special guest, the big nasty, Corliss Williamson, in town briefly, but he's going to have to go back to work here in the very near future. Good to see you, Coach. How are you?
Doing great, man. Glad to be here.
Boy, we appreciate you
looking
popping
great.
In. I know you got a busy schedule. He's been, you know, you guys, we've been talking a lot about weight loss around here. Roger and I have been on this diet recently, and I know the last time when you were in town, your last year at UCA, we talked about getting you and Patton some sort of challenge.
That's right.
He didn't want any part of it.
It never materialized.
But you're looking good. You've been, obviously, when you're away from your family, you got work and you got working out, I guess, right?
That's it. That's all you have. You try to fill that free time with something positive, so I worked out all the time.
And by positive, you mean you're taking DeMarcus Cousins into the post after practice, pregame. I don't know if you know this, but they'll show some pregame stuff when they cut. You know, they do their – when it's a nationally televised game, and they've shown you two working out before the games and going through the routine. So just so you know that they will have cameras on you and DeMarcus. So don't give them anything. Don't give them a step.
I'm trying not to. If you notice that, if you ever watch any of those videos, you'll see I'm always playing defense. He plays none at all, not during the pregame or the game. No, I'm just playing.
He's a guy that is, and of all the players you were going to go out and work with, that was the one guy that I think we all sort of had our eye on because he's got a bit of a reputation from his days in Kentucky and on into the NBA. Limitless potential. And you and I talked about this when we were doing the UCA show together. Those are the most frustrating guys, the guys that don't seem to want to achieve at the highest level, even though they have a wealth of talent. And he's a guy that I know you've probably tried to poke him in the right direction to get him to play to his potential.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've pushed so many buttons with DeMarcus this year. Sometimes they were the right one, sometimes they were the wrong one. But, I mean, he's extremely talented. You know, he has a lot of potential. He could possibly be the best big man in the NBA if he ever focused in and really put forth the effort night in and night out. And that's part of his maturation. You know, for him to be that type of player, he's going to have to mature and continue to grow each year mentally and as well as physically. I think he's never been in great shape, but, I mean, he's a load down there. People can't guard him.
You are just finished your, and I guess there's still work to be done, of course, but your first year as an NBA assistant. I want to ask you what kinds of things were the most enjoyable this year for you and what things were the most challenging and maybe surprising for you in your first year as an assistant. I mean, you've been around the league for a long time, but different capacity now. So what were the things that were most gratifying and things that were the most difficult to deal with?
The thing I really enjoyed the most is you know, with the NBA, it's strictly basketball. You know, I enjoyed college. Sometimes I didn't like chasing those young guys to class every day. But, you know, just the fact that it's strictly basketball, you're at the highest level, get an opportunity to compete against the best in the world. So that's something I really enjoyed. But also for me as a coach, for me to continue to grow, it was necessary for me to take a step back from being a head coach because I was only assistant for a year and a half at Arkansas Baptist. But now having a chance to take a step back and be an assistant in the NBA, I've learned so much over the past 9 months being an assistant in the NBA that I ever learned being a head coach. So I think those are some of the positives I've taken away from it, you know, being at that level and also the opportunity to learn as a coach. Some of the negatives for me this year, the main negatives was not having my family there. You know, they were back here in Arkansas. I got the job late, so the kids stayed here to stay in school. That was probably the most difficult part for me was being away from my family. But when you're looking on the court, I think it was me being a little nervous, you know, relearning the NBA again, you know, trying to find my voice in the NBA, you know, what to say to guys. You know, these are grown men as opposed to coaching some young guys who just got out of high school. So just trying to learn their personalities and how to relate to them. I think that was something that was a little difficult in the beginning, but once I got a groove and learned my way through it, it was a lot easier.
Were a lot of them familiar with you and your career?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, John Salmons, I played with him in yeah. Philadelphia and Sacramento. So for me to come back and coach him, you know, that was pretty weird. He critiqued me on my first scouting report. You know, he was like, hey, next time you come out and do your scouting report, don't have that paper in your hand. You got to memorize all this stuff.
I like that. That's good. Yeah, I guess it's on the job training. Now, do you have a specific, role? Do you guys have, I'm assuming you're working with a specific group of guys, but also as far as personality goes, I'm sure that there's a coaching staff. If you have a perfect makeup, you want to have guys that are going to get your good cops and your bad cops. I mean, do you have a specific role, and do you guys talk about that?
We talk about it. You know, for me, I was kind of both. I was a bad cop, especially with DeMarcus, always trying to push him, to get him to take a step, to play at a higher level. But, you know, X's and O's, we all had our duties as far as certain teams that we would scout, putting together the scouting report and everything to get guys prepared. When we broke down into positions, I was, of course, with the big guys working with them. But, you know, it was fun. You know, it was fun and challenging. Just things that I learned and having an opportunity to try to have an effect and change the culture there in Sacramento.
Yeah, you guys have a new owner, right? Was it this year?
Yes.
That you guys got a new owner?
Yeah. Vivek Renadivek.
Yeah, he seems to be doing a great job. And the difference with having an owner like that believes and will do whatever it takes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's
yeah.
got a great story, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's been great. I mean, that whole city is really rallied around the team. They've always been that way, even when I was drafted as a rookie and when we were going through tough times. They were always there being supportive. And the mayor, Kevin Johnson.
KJ's out there,
you know,
that's
with
right.
him working with Renadive yeah. and keeping the team there in Sacramento. I mean, that was just great. And it's just good to be a part of the new change and the new era of Kings basketball.
You guys are 28-54 this year.
I wish we had
40. I know, 40. I was that puts you in a pretty good position, though. You were talking about earlier, before we came on the air, you guys will have a top 10 pick, most likely. Right. Maybe number one, but top 10. So from this point on, what do you get, another month and a half, I think, before the draft?
Yeah, got another month and a half before the draft.
You're just working guys out is what the next step is?
Yeah, we'll start the workouts. Actually, we'll start them tomorrow. I'm leaving out this evening, headed back to Sacramento. We'll start our pre-draft workouts. First, we start off with seniors, graduating mm-hmm. seniors from college, and then I think there's a Chicago camp this next week, the combine.
Yep.
And then after that, I believe that's when you can start bringing in underclassmen and working those guys out.
Hopefully next year, if we're talking to you at this point, you are in the playoffs and you can be talking about your matchups. But as far as first rounds go, I think everybody we've talked to, and Joe Klein, another guy that was around the NBA a long, long time, I don't think anybody can remember a better first round. You'd be hard-pressed to find one. It's been extremely compelling. We got an unbelievable second-round matchup with you've got the Clippers and Oklahoma City starting tonight. I mean, what an incredible matchup of athleticism. So that ought to be a lot of fun. But in the West specifically, you know, when you look at what's gone on here, and everybody's sort of been pressed, you know, outside of the Heat, and the whole league has been pressed in the playoffs. What have your impressions been from the first round?
I mean, it's been great. You know, it's been entertaining for the fans. It's been great for the league. I mean, if you look at all those matchups, I heard you guys talking about it early on the radio, all the overtime games. I mean, it's been an unbelievable first round for the NBA, and it just built it up for the second round. You know, everybody's excited to see how this second round is going to happen and how it's going to play out. And the West was always tight throughout the season. You know, if you look at the West and the record, the guys that didn't make the playoffs will probably be a number three seed or number four seed in the East.
Yeah.
So to see how these matchups are finally coming out for the second round, especially with some of the guys that are playing, it's going to be some great basketball to watch.
He mentioned John Simmons, and what about these other guys? I mean, there are guys that you played with throughout your career that are still going. I mean, you think about guys that they're elite of the elite, like Tim Duncan. I mean, having watched him up close now as an assistant after playing against him over the years, I mean, it's got to be pretty incredible. I'm sure you have a great appreciation for him, having seen it from both sides now, for a guy like him who's been able to continue it at a high level.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just the fact that, you know, he's still able to be the big fundamental that Shaq called him. You know, it's amazing. You've seen these guys, they've taken care of their bodies, they've done the right things off the court, and they're still in position to be successful. And, you know, not only are the players, but even the coaches. I mean, I have a better appreciation for the coaches, you know, just how they're able to bring in new guys and keep that system going, regardless of who's playing for them. I mean, you look at Popovich, it doesn't matter who they have on their team. They all buy into that system and are always successful. So just having an opportunity to be there and really evaluate the coaches as well as the players that I played against, you know, that's pretty cool.
Talking about coaching, it's in some of the things I'm curious what's changed, but when you left the league, now you'll have a DVD or some video of the first half, so then when you guys come back in halftime, there are specific things broken down where you can take a play from what happened in the first half and run it through for these guys, whether it's defending the pick and roll or entry pass, post pass or something like that.
Yeah.
You get it that specific.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very detailed now in the NBA. When you look at the scouting reports and all the games we watch, how we have to break down film, it was a little overwhelming at first. And then you go to the game, and, you know, if you see a player, something's happening in the game, you know, coach will make a note of it or tell us to make a note. And so our video coordinator, he'll have that play queued up and ready to go when we come in at halftime.
That's
so
crazy.
We get an opportunity to see
that?
The play and then also break
can't
it down
run
for
from
the players.
It.
No,
Tape
you can't run
lie.
From it. No.
Tape doesn't lie.
Honest guy doesn't lie.
Corliss Williamson joining us in the studio. It is 10:18. We'll talk more with him about the NBA playoffs over the next 30 minutes or so, and then he's got to get out of here. Busy day for you, as you mentioned. You're traveling today. You've got a son celebrating a birthday today.
Oh, yes.
He's already in school, I assume, so we can give him a shout-out, but he won't hear it.
Way to go,
How
buddy.
Old today?
He's 9.
Okay, good times. That's fun age. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
I smell a little bowling trip around the horizon. Is that where you take a 9-year-old?
Where?
Bowling?
Bowling?
You don't seem like a guy to take kids.
You're probably
going to
hang around the house, right? Yeah. I mean, since you don't get a lot of time back at home right now.
No, well, he has a birthday party. I'm going to go to the school today, and he has a birthday party after school. I have to leave right before the party starts, so that's pretty sad. But we went to the movies on Friday. We wanted to see Spider-Man, so that was he's pretty cool with it.
Thumbs up, thumbs down? What do you think?
Thumbs up.
Okay.
Yes.
It certainly did well at the box office. We'll talk about that later. They say familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds a tough matchup, it turns out, in the playoffs this year. OKC and San Antonio, you got divisional teams playing each other. OKC and Memphis, rather, and San Antonio and Dallas, rather. So teams that have played each other before in the playoffs, or they play each other a lot during the regular season. How difficult is that? Does that add an extra layer, or if you're just the better team, I mean, typically, do you feel like you're going to come out on top more often than not? Because certainly we saw San Antonio struggle with the Dallas team. We thought they'd dispatch pretty quickly.
Right, right. Like you say, anytime you're familiar with the team, I mean, it's going to be tough to beat them. You play each other 4 times during the course of the year, and now all of a sudden you're going to play each other 7 times. And they're going to be different matchups. One game, one team's going to be up, the other one's going to be down, as you saw in that series. But most of the time, the better team wins. I mean, if they're better, the coaching staff is better. And I'm not going to say that Greg Popovich is that much better than Rick Carlisle, because Rick Carlisle is a great coach.
Yeah.
But when you put all those pieces together, players, coaches, and even home court advantage, that's when it finally comes into play in that last game in Game 7.
Yeah, that 7-game series, the best team is going to win out on that 7-game series.
Yeah.
When you look at the Clippers and the Thunder matchup, they've got superstars on both sides of the ball, absolute superstars on both sides of the ball. If you look in that specific series, that matchup, which players do you think are going to determine which team wins this? Which play, maybe one guy, if he does what he needs to do, this team will win, or maybe it's a couple of guys?
For me, looking at Oklahoma, I would say Westbrook. I mean, I think everyone knows he's the wild card. You know, he can – be so explosive and can be so great and score points and do things for you defensively as well. But then also on the flip side, there are some games when he struggles and may not take the best shot or make the right play. So I think it's going to be up on him to have a
Would you stick with him on the ball? Or would you? Because at some point he's going to get to an age where he's done developing. What would you give him? Keep playing him as a point, or take him off the ball? Do you think you can get through to him to actually do what he needs to do to run the team?
I think he can learn.
I don't think this kid will ever learn. That's just me. I mean, we've been watching. They lost to the Miami Heat. Was that 3 years ago? Right, the first title the Heat won.
Right.
Was against them.
No, so 2 years ago, because they lost the first one to Dallas, right? Okay. Then they won two back-to-back.
So, all right, a few years. But we've been seeing this. And I understand he's still young, and we wouldn't be talking about it unless they were so great, if there was these great players. At some point, I think he's just not going
to
do it. That's just
will he learn it, or will he get to a point in his career where he's like, I can't physically do it? Do we have to wait until he can't physically do the freakish
thing? That's
the
scary thing.
Maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's just like, well, I can do this on a regular basis. It's hard for me not to try to do it. I can't imagine what that's like, but it's got to be awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome to have that athleticism. But I think he can still learn. You know, it's sometimes you just have to, when you're hard-headed, sometimes you have to bump your head a few times, and you finally finally clicks in. But you know, you never know. I hope he learns, and you know, a couple more years. If he doesn't, then they may have to make a decision, take him off the ball, especially late in the games. You know, take him off the ball, put him in position.
It just
where
seems like he can attack.
Screens.
Can you imagine trying to defend him after a second or third pass, and he's attacking you from the wing, as opposed to dribbling, and attacking from the top of the key where all five defenders are looking at him? I just look at it and I say, it could be so much easier for this kid. Yeah. Well, that's a slow.
Not to mention you got another guy over there that's not bad at attacking from the wing
He's
either.
Not
so.
Bad. No. He's not bad. He's going to figure it out too.
What do you make of this matchup? Because certainly you've got two of the most talented teams. I mean, whether or not they're going to be the best team or not depends, I guess, on how you look at it. Certainly the Spurs are the number one seed, and they've got that veteran leadership and certainly the experience, but you got two freakishly talented teams. I mean, when Danny Granger can't get off the bench for the clip show, I mean, you got freakish talent. But what an incredible matchup this should be starting tonight. What do you make of the series, and what do you see happening?
Wow. It's tough. I would like to see Oklahoma win the series. I mean, it's hard for me to really pick a team knowing that I'm coaching against those guys.
Nobody's listening, so you're not going to offend anybody. You're all good.
But I'd like to see Oklahoma win. You know, my homeboy Derek Fisher's on the team,
sure.
So I'm always rooting for the home team. But I just think they've – I would like to see Durant get another opportunity to play in the NBA Finals. Not saying that they would beat San Antonio or Portland, but I would like to see them get an opportunity to play there. And when you look at the Clippers, I think Chris Paul, depending on how healthy he is, I think that's going to be a big key for them. If he's healthy and he's able to control the game and run his team the way he needs to, then, you know, they might be in the mix as well.
Brooklyn had a tough series over in the East, and you're going to offend anybody talking about Eastern Division or Eastern Conference games, I suppose. So Garnett calls him Joe Jesus. He came up big yesterday. He went on a run where he scored like 9 or 11 in a row yesterday for them. He was incredible. Missed a couple of shots later on, and they get the big defensive stand they needed at the end. Certainly some great experience on that team as well. An intriguing team, Brooklyn. I mean, they look like offensively they were trying to find their way for most of the series. They came up big yesterday, and then they made the defense, made it stand up. What do you make of them, and how do you see them in this next round now?
Wow. I mean, that's going to be a tough matchup. I mean, you got a veteran team that's you got a lot of weapons on the Brooklyn team, but you just don't know which matchup is going to work for them. And I think that as the series goes on, they've figured it out against Toronto, and they're going to have to do the same thing against Miami. I forgot what the series was during the course of the regular season.
The Nets have beat. I think they might have been 3 out of 4 times,
times. Yeah. So, you know, I know Miami's got that in the back of their mind. And, of course, LeBron, to me, he's still the greatest in the game right now. So it's going to be a tough matchup for him.
Who's going to defend LeBron is my question. Who's going to do it for the Nets?
You don't have one player.
It's
got to be the team defense. They're going to have to load to him, try to keep him out of the paint. And that's easier said than done. I think every team in the NBA has tried to do that throughout the course of the year. But, you know, when you're that great and that explosive and that talented, you just hope he's missing shots at night.
You stick Blatch on him, or who do you put over there?
Wow.
Someone's got to keep him out of the lane, right? You got to make him shoot jump shots.
I would like to use Kirilenko with his length.
That's a good one.
I'd like to use Kirilenko, try to keep him out, make him shoot jump shots and shoot over his length if possible.
The second best nickname, yours, of course, Big Nasty, was the best nickname in the NBA, AK-47.
Nice.
Second best. And nice. Only to the Big Nasty.
And I can only assume that Corliss and his wife do not have the same kind of arrangements that Andre Kirilenko and his wife have.
When we get back.
That's a unique cat.
Listen, you know I always talk about this. Well, I hope you've listened to me every time I've talked about this.
I try to ignore you.
When we talk about Corliss Williamson, we talk about his transition from what player he was in college, in his role and what he was asked to do, in his body, to when he was drafted, his role in the NBA, and how he had to change his body and his mindset.
Did your body ever look this good when you played?
Maybe my first year.
I mean, you are a lean dude right now. What are you weighing these days?
About 255. That's what I weighed when I retired.
Thick. I mean, this guy's thick. Look at him. He's big boned.
But I can tell from when you were coaching, I mean, to today, I mean, it's night and day.
Listen, he's very intimidating.
Yeah, how much did you weigh when you were coaching UCA?
Wow. You know what? I'm going to be honest. I'm going to tell you now. After the last game, I stepped on the scale, and I was 291.
Woo! Wow. Still look good, bro.
Yeah. 35 pounds, man. At 36? Yeah, 36. I guess. We'll round up 40. We'll go 40. Yeah. That's incredible, man.
Yeah, I was ashamed of myself.
Wow.
I was ashamed, but I feel great, though.
Well, good for you. You look great.
I want to get more into that, too, considering it's draft time and how you – I noticed it. I don't know if you gave an interview or you talked about it, how you had to go from what you were at Arkansas winning championships to – the NBA and win championship, right. Sixth Man of the Year award.
Also, you are working with a coach that is a Boston native, like my boy Pat here.
Who that?
Coach Malone is a Boston
Michael
guy.
Malone?
Got to talk
to him
about
D.
that.
Brown's on staff, too.
And I want to get, yeah, I saw that. And Bruce Bowen. Not Bruce Bowen. Who's the kid from Iowa?
Ryan Bowen.
But I want to talk to you also, of course, about the Sterling thing. I mean, the entire NBA was caught up in that, and luckily they're starting to put that behind them. And I don't know if you got any insight on who's going to be in the ownership group, but that's going to be interesting to see that play out. That's a hot commodity right now. We'll talk about all that coming up.
And Corliss does have on his team a point guard who was named. This kid was named. His father had a bet with a Detroit Pistons fan, and there was a situation. If he lost the bet, he would name his son after one of the all-time great Pistons, and he owned up to his bet. And now one of his great young players is named for one great Detroit Pistons.
I think that's pretty easy.
Don't